If you would please join me once again in the book of 1 John. Last week the sermon was a very passionate, emotional sermon of my account sharing the gospel with a young gentleman in Texas by the name of Aaron. I appreciate the feedback and the comments. This week the sermon is a bit more technical in a teaching style. But it is a subject that we need to be very aware of, to be instructed in. And so in my Bible, chapter 4, at the heading of chapter 4, it simply says in italics, which is not inerrant or not God's word, but it says, test the spirits. Spirits being the different motives, the different paradigms, the different methodologies in our world today that intend to instruct us or to influence us. And those spirits are diverse in nature. Here, John will make a very distinctive, deliberate line between those teachings of the spirit of Satan and those teachings of the spirit of God. And so again, it's a very important topic, as I said, a bit more technical than what we had last week, but nonetheless, a topic, a subject, an area we need to hear the Holy Spirit's teaching on. So please join me in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. Hear the infallible, inerrant word of the living God. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. One of the greatest chores of the Christian faith is discernment. There's so much material that comes to us from so many different angles, especially with the internet. I mean, you can find anything you want, good or bad, on the internet. Sadly, there are those who falsely believe that, well, it said it on the internet. Well, let's be careful. There's so many different teachers, so many different studies that come at us from different angles, portraying some reputable names even, but we have to be careful. Are they the things God would like us to study, or are they not? It is difficult sometimes to know which teachings to believe. I'm thankful that our Christian Ed committee reviews all of our Sunday school material. The women's ministry brings their material straight to the session to have it reviewed to ensure that, in the session's opinion, that it is proper. Now, I will admit there are some studies we do that have some aspects of their writings that we in our denomination, we in our testaments of faith doctrine, don't necessarily agree with. But I'm not one to pull those back from, unless they're just incredibly heretical, I'm not one to pull those back from them, from you, because I want you to study those materials because you need to be able to identify error. And the only way you can identify error is exactly what John is talking about here. In order to identify error, you have to know the truth. And so we need those practices, if you will, to do that. And see, this is what the Apostle John is calling on us, the Christians, to do, to take on that chore of discernment, a very valuable, necessary aspect of the Christian faith. Test the spirit, realize the difference between one teaching and another. And please hear this. Not all teaching from the Bible is from God. The Bible is used as an instrument in many, many diverse teachings. There are those pastors who would say, we don't need to emphasize specific, particular doctrines because they are too divisive. Let's just concentrate on the upper level things that cause us all to unite. Let's just love one another. Let's understand that we are tolerant to all views. Please understand the background of what's being said there. Unity. Let's all just come together. Well, we have to be very careful there. Yes, doctrine, theology does divide at times. But see, these practices of moving to the upper level, of just talking about the love of God, talking about tolerance and accepting everything, these are practices, these are tactics of Satan. Because he does not want you to dig down into the theological matters. He does not want you to know all the things you should know about who God is. Now, it is of particular note of where this passage sits in John's teaching. He broaches this subject of false teacher right in the middle of this great discussions he's had of loving one another. Love one another, love one another, love one another. But here he breaks in with this parenthetical statement, if you will, about false teachers. One author comments, every cult, every deviant group, every false movement makes its appeal to the people in the name of love. We love you. We just love you. And see, the world easily accepts this idea of loving one another. The world has no problem with that statement. That emphasizes their care. That emphasizes their concern for each other. Let's just love one another. The issue is that this love is nothing more than an overall acceptance of everyone and everything. And see, here's where the rub starts. This type of love has lost its mooring, its foundation to anything having to do with God's idea, teaching of love. Yes, we are to love one another, and yes, we are to love our enemies. We are to love those who are different from us. We are to love those who think differently than us. Today in Sunday school, we were talking about Jesus washing the disciples' feet. He washed Judas's feet. And Judas was about to betray him. He washed the feet of his enemy. So yes, we are to love, and we are to care, and we are to be concerned. But we have to understand what this true idea of love is and test the spirits behind that teaching of whatever concept of love one group might be advocating. Paul states in 1 Timothy, the Spirit, capital S, the Spirit expressly says that in later times, some will depart from the faith by devoting themselves to deceitful spirits and teachings of demons. These deceitful spirits, these demons, will lead individuals, false teachers, to use biblical language that you might be very comfortable with, but then using that biblical language and misconstruing it in a different way to mislead the people. You've heard the adage, a little bit of truth mixed with a lie, and most people will take hold. So we must pay close attention to what John is teaching us here. Now, it may seem obvious, but we need to explore a little bit further here why the Christian must be so discerning. And the answer is very, very simple. It is because Satan and his forces are at work in the world today. A familiar statement has gained popularity. It says, it doesn't matter what you believe, as long as you believe something. Think about that for a moment. It's okay what you believe. It's okay as long as you believe something. This is incredible. And I'll go so far as say nonsensical. I mean, let me give you a really far out example. You can believe in your very heart that you can leap from the edge of the Grand Canyon, flap your arms, and you'll fly. You can believe that with all of your heart. But as soon as you do, gravity takes over and reality sets in. I believed it with all my heart. It's the same with theology. It's the same with God's teaching. You can believe that you don't need God. You can go so far as to believe that there's not a God. You can believe and identify as something other than what you were at creation. But one day, reality is going to set in. And again, what you falsely believe will not support you. You are free. Everyone in this room is free to believe whatever you want to believe. We are free to believe whatever we want to believe. But what you believe may very well be your demise. From the day that Satan deceived Eve in the garden until the last days, when Jesus Christ comes, when the final Antichrist will show his face, evil spirits have and will come and promote false teaching. When John says many false prophets have gone out into the world, they are already here. Jesus called them sheep in wolf's clothing. These men, these individuals who teach, they are disguised as followers of Jesus Christ. They say all the right things. They will quote scripture, but then there will be that little misleading item. Therefore, again, John tells his beloved flock, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they're from God. We need to be people who question. I remember Judy telling me when she was in college, even in high school, her classmates would get upset with her. She questioned everything. That's why she aced everything. We need to be people who question. And not disrespectfully, but to know, to question, because Satan is alive, roaming about seeking whom he may devour, as Peter tells us. And these who are spreading these false teachers, they promote this error at every teaching, at every opportunity. And please understand, these individuals are referred to as the Antichrist, small a. And they are among us today. So how are we to know? How are we to know what is true teaching and what is false? As I said, false teachers may look well, they may be gentle and loving, they may even speak prophecies that come true. Please realize there's more than one power at work in this world. They may even perform miracles or quasi things that look like miracles. They may cast out demons. They may speak in tongues. They may look very authentic in some areas. But the question is, do these lead to the true God or to a false God? Specifically, here John lays down the rule we are to use, and he has it in verses 2 and 3. This is the rule by how we are to know. By this, you know the Spirit of God, colon. Okay, here's the statement. By this, you will know, and here's the statement. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Verse 3, and every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and now is in the world already. A true teacher will confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Now, we cannot take that at surface level, because the demons even confess the Son of God. They even confess that he was the Son, and he did that while he was here in flesh. And so there's much, much deeper stuff behind this. To confess that Jesus comes in the flesh, to confess this truth about Jesus, confesses that you understand and accept why Jesus came, and therefore you submit to him as Lord and Savior. Also, this confession, when he says that Jesus has come, that phrase, has come in the flesh, reveals his true deity, his divinity, and also his humanity. And this is key. Saying that Jesus has come means that he existed previous to this. It teaches us that he is the eternal, existent Son of God, and that he has now come in flesh. And we see this in John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning, and then he comes in the flesh. That's all tied up when we confess Jesus comes in the flesh. To deny that Jesus is truly God and deny that he is truly man is to deny the Christian faith. It's as simple as that. To deny either Jesus' divinity or his humanity is to deny that he is Savior. And this is how this works. If Jesus were not God, he would have been a sinner, a man walking the streets just like you and me. And his death on the cross would have meant nothing to you if he were not God. If he were not man, fully man, he could not have taken our sins upon himself as a human and therefore pay with his sacrifice. Therefore, faith in him to save you from your sins would be totally worthless. So we must confess Jesus has come in the flesh. Jesus, God, the Son of God, eternal Son of God, God, came in the flesh, mankind, man, and died on the cross as God and as man. And we need them both. And that's what John is teaching here. If we do not confess that, then we are of Satan. Bottom line here is, what you believe about Jesus Christ matters. The difference between a person in a cult that does not believe in Jesus Christ, who has hell awaiting them, and a true believer who believes in Jesus, who's going to heaven, is based on what we believe, what you believe about Jesus Christ. Bottom line. So we go a little further. John pushes a little bit further. How do we know we're right in our discernment? How do we know we're getting the right source, the right teaching? Verses 4 through 6. John writes, "Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in the world is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are from the world, therefore they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." There's three pronouns here. You, they, we. The first two pronouns, little children, you. True believers, you are from God. You listen. The second pronoun is they. They are from not from God. They listen to the world. So here is two distinct categories of people, and they are divided in this context by whom they listen to. Do you listen to the ways of the apostles' teaching, or do you listen to the ways and the teachings of the world? Two groups. And then the third pronoun we find in verse 6, we, sets the standard. True believers listen to God and his apostles. They listen to the word of God. And listening to the apostles' teaching, we know the spirit of truth when compared to the spirit of error. When John says, you, little children, you, true believers, he's appointing to those who have been born again. And this new birth is done by the Holy Spirit. And that coming of the Holy Spirit is what sets us apart from the they group and allows us to hear the truth and then realize and know the truth. You see, those who are from the world, who follow worldly standards, who follow the worldly teaching, the Spirit is not there. I could preach the truth to them all day long and they'd never hear it. So we know, I pray, that we are that beloved little child that John is referring to, and that we are people of God, that we are from God, and therefore we know the truth, as I'm teaching the little kids here, and you've taught the little kids many, many times, to know the truth. You will never spot error until you know the truth. And we know the truth, which is the Word of God, and the Word of God is that standard by which we use to test the spirits. The folks from the world, John says here, they are from the world, they speak from the world, they speak the world's language, they speak the language the world likes to hear. When you hear somebody setting aside sin, when you hear someone setting aside that salvation in Jesus Christ is not the only way, those are the words from the world. And the world without the Spirit loves to hear those things. As I said, verse 6 is the standard. Again, we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to God. John states that we, the apostles, are from God. And see, this is our source. This is our source. How are we to know the truth? We go to the source. We go to the one who's given us the truth. We go to the one who knows and gives the truth, and we are students of the truth. So when John writes, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God." This is our standard. This is our measuring stick. You've heard the Bible referred to as a canon. Some of you may have heard of that word. It's canon. Canon means measuring stick. Canon means measuring stick. And so this is our canon. This is our measuring stick. When we hear a teaching, it comes in, we refer to the word. Now, I must give credit where credit is due and applaud where it's necessary. You are individuals, in my experience with you, are ones who test the spirits. How many of you have called me, sent me a text, sent me an email, and said, Pastor Tim, I was reading so-and-so, I heard this on the TV, read this on the internet, and that little red flag shoots up. Okay, what is that little red flag? It's the Holy Spirit going, phew, whoa, wait a minute, back up. And then we have a conversation. Many of you have done that. So I'm not exactly preaching to the choir. Sorry. I'm not preaching to the choir, but I applaud you that the Holy Spirit has put that in you to be questioning, to be sensitive, to be aware that everything that comes across the computer screen, everything that comes across the newspaper, everything that comes across a book, there are some authors that we hold high that I will not follow a lot of their teaching. Martin Luther, my hero, in his last days was referred to as a heretic because of some of the things he wrote. Test the spirits. And folks, again today, I cannot overemphasize the importance of this, because there's so many things coming at us in so many different ways, in so many different directions, with a nice disguise over it. Let's use the right words. Let's put a good picture on the front or a cross. That'll get them every time. Be careful. Be careful. Be careful. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits. Test the mode of teaching. Test the motive of teaching, etc. Test every spirit. Let's pray together. Father, as we have admitted here, as you know better than we, there are so many teachings out there, good, bad. But how to know the difference? Well, you've given us your word as a standard. You've given us the Holy Spirit as the power, which gives us ability. And so lead us to have the strength and the courage to test the spirits. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen.